Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
So earlier this month, one of the most secure and heavily guarded museums in the world, the Louvre in Paris, was hit by a major jewel heist. On the morning of October 19th, a group of thieves managed to break into the Apollo Gallery, where the museum keeps France's royal and imperial jewels. They used what police described as a mechanical lift to access a window on the upper level, smashed through display cases, and got out in less than 8 minutes. Damn, that's impressive. The pieces they took weren't just valuable, they were historic. We're talking about diamonds, emeralds, and sapphires that once belonged to French empresses and queens. The total value is estimated at around 88 million euros. And what's that? What's that in U.S. currency? Do we know?
I think it's like almost $100 million.
$100 million. So, yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah.
French authorities have arrested several suspects, seven so far to be exact, and the Paris prosecutor, Laurie Bacow, is leading the investigation. But as of now, none of the jewels have been recovered. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down how the theft happened, what's known about the suspects, and why the investigators think it wasn't just a smash and grab, but a highly coordinated operation, which I think just from that intro, yeah, we can all agree they didn't just think about this from a window and say, hey, you know what? We're going to break into that today. They put some thought into this. This is Ocean's 11.
They weren't walking by the Louvre saying like, you know, it's a good day to, you know, grab some jewels. No. And I mean, you say how expensive these things are, right? 88 million euros. But in reality, they're priceless. They're priceless based on who they belong to, how long they've been there, just their place in history. And you know, some people might say, oh, this isn't a true crime that we're used to. It's not, I suppose. But here's the thing. We're covering BTK right now. That's pretty messed up. Okay. We needed something a little lighter where people aren't being tortured and killed to talk about for Crime Weekly News this week. Everyone knows I love history. I'm really into this kind of stuff. And I think both Derek and I kind of like this whole, I don't know, D.B. Cooper element to the heist.
I mean, it is true crime. I mean, it is a crime.
Yeah, no it's, doubt a, about it. I mean, it's a very crime.
And you bring up a great point because it's not just about the intrinsic value, right? Like, yes, that's important, but that can be replaced, whether it's through insurance or whatever it's going to be. But the fact is, like you just said, these items, even if they weren't diamonds or emeralds or whatever else was taken, there's historical value in there that you can't replace. Mm-hmm. You need to find the original items. And with something like this, we're talking about 88 million euros, but I have to imagine that in size, and I could be wrong on this, if it was just jewels and emeralds, they took that for a reason because it's small in size. And everything we're talking about here probably could have been stuffed into one duffel bag.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's crowns, it's, you know, brooches.
Okay, so maybe a couple duffel bags, but overall, very hard to find. And the fact that they haven't found any of it yet, and it's not like there's a serial number on it, they can't really scan it in somewhere where they could track it. But I would like to think that if someone's out there trying to pawn off a crown, they're going to get a phone call.
No, you'd think, and people have said that. People have said, like, who would steal this? Like, there's no point. Where are they going to find a buyer for it?
And there's already a buyer.
Oh, there's already a buyer.
There's already a buyer.
Like, it's not just in movies. There's like extremely wealthy people outside of our understanding what wealthy even is, who are out there that have rooms in their homes that are like vaulted, locked up safes that are not seen by the people who come into their home. And it's almost like this trophy room of things they have that are illicit and they shouldn't have them. And they don't need to show them off. They just need to know that they have them. There's already a buyer or these people wouldn't be there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Have you seen that movie Contraband? with Mark Wahlberg?
I probably have, yeah.
Okay, so he's like a smuggler. He's like a professional smuggler. Mm-hmm. And it's the same premises there where he develops these elaborate plans, these heists to steal something of value, knowing he can sell it on the black market and in some instances already having a buyer. So that's the concern here, right? Like if they went to this length having this mechanical lift, which by the way, we'll throw up the video right here. You can see it as we're talking. It's pretty extensive what they did here. And so if they went to this extreme, they already knew that the items they were stealing were going to be very noticeable to the general public. So it's probably already out of Paris in some other part of the world.
Yeah.
Like you said, in some kingpin's collection that will never see the light of day, or by the time it's seen by anyone, it'll be 100 years from now.
Yeah. And I mean, especially with Europe, they could just hop on a speedboat and be in a different country within an
hour.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about this, why it's so important. And what the authorities think. So when people think of the Louvre, they picture the Mona Lisa or the glass pyramid out front. But the Apollo Gallery is something else entirely. It's a piece of history in itself. It was built in the 1600s under King Louis XIV, the Sun King, to celebrate the divine right of French monarchs. Gold leaf ceilings, painted gods, carved suns. It's all about opulence and power. And inside that room, surrounded by art that glorifies royal lineage, the French crown jewels were displayed. Most of these pieces survived everything, revolutions, wars, the fall of empires. What's wild is that these thieves didn't go for anything modern or random. They went straight for the jewelry that represented dynasty, the empresses, the queens, the women who embodied legitimacy and empire. And that's why a lot of people are saying this heist feels intentional. The symbolism of what was stolen and what wasn't, it kind of tells a story. So let's walk through the timeline. Sunday morning, October 19th, the museum isn't open to the public yet. Sometime before 9 a.m., security cameras pick up what looks like an equipment vehicle parked near the Seine side of the Louvre, the side facing the Quai des Tuileries. So investigators say the thieves used that lift to access a second floor window that led directly into the Apollo Gallery. They broke the glass, forced entry, and smashed several display cases. Alarms were triggered almost immediately, but because the break-in happened from the outside facade, response time was slower than if it had been an internal motion sensor. The Louvre actually has more than 2,000 cameras, but prosecutors have since admitted that there were blind spots on that exterior side. And what does that tell me? That somebody who's familiar with the Louvre, with their security cameras and with the placement of the security cameras, knew where those blind spots were. So the thieves grabbed 8 specific pieces, packed them up, and escaped in what officials believe was under 8 minutes. Witnesses reported seeing 2 scooters leaving the area soon after. Later that day, the museum shut down part of the wing for forensic work. They found DNA, gloves, and helmets at the scene. Within 48 hours, French police had begun cross-referencing the DNA hits with known offenders. A week later, on October 26th, 2 men in their 30s were arrested in Seine-Saint-Denis, a suburb northeast of Paris. One of them was detained at Charles de Gaulle Airport, reportedly trying to board a flight out of France. Both men have prior criminal records. They were held on charges of organized gang theft and criminal conspiracy. Now, after those first arrests, things started to move fast. By October 29th, Paris prosecutor Laura Bacow announced that both men had partially admitted their involvement, which is kind of fascinating. That usually means they're confirming parts of the operation without giving up the full picture, like who financed it or where the jewels actually are. But even with those admissions, the jewels themselves have not been recovered. And that's when authorities brought in 100 investigators to dig deeper. The next day, October 30th, 5 more people were arrested in coordinated raids around Paris. One of them had DNA evidence directly linking him to the scene. Police called it a commando team, suggesting that there were multiple roles: the lift operator, the entry team, the lookouts, and possibly a handler or a fence waiting to move the jewels. Prosecutors also said there's no evidence that anyone inside the Louvre helped them, at least not yet. But they had, yeah. Well, also, once again, I want to go back to the fact that 2,000 cameras the Louvre has, and this is public information. You can kind of look it up and see, hey, does the Louvre have surveillance? And they'll say, yeah, the Louvre has over 2,000 cameras. It doesn't tell you where they are. And I'm sure publicly you would not be able to find out where the blind spots on the exterior of the Louvre are as far as security cameras go.
Yeah, you'd have to be within the security branch of the Louvre.
Or know somebody who is aware of that.
Yeah.
Somebody from inside the Louvre, you know?
Can we stop for a second and not skate over the fact that you said 100 investigators?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you misspeak there?
No, this is very serious to the people of France. Yeah.
It is serious. And maybe I'm just being that guy right now. And you guys can all eye roll me if you'd like. But there is a small part of me that gets pissed when I hear that.
Where you're like, how much other crime is happening on the streets of Paris right now while these 100 investigators are trying to find some jewels?
I wasn't even thinking that.
Oh,
but it's like,
I did.
Nobody got hurt here, right? Nobody was killed. How many investigators are assigned when someone gets murdered or when a child is abducted? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much what I was thinking, too. It's because
I don't know. Again, I feel like I'm eye-rolling myself a little bit, like, oh, man, Derek. But, like, it's tough to get a group of people together when there's someone who's been killed or taken. But when it comes to money, all hands on deck. And I know there is a historical value there, but, again,
I don't think it's the money so much. Even the prosecutor said, yeah, the monetary damage is massive, but the historical damage is even greater.
I get it, but it's still like, how about all those children out there who have been through something and need justice? Like, if they had 100 investigators work in that case, would they solve it? Probably.
Is a very crime-ridden city, let's be honest. I
just
agree.
Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox.
Listen.
I just saw her. I heard that and I was like, wow, it's amazing how when there's a dollar amount attached to it, how many people come out of the woodwork. But I know, again, there's a historical value. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm sure that not everyone in Paris or even in France feels the same way. And, you know, there's a huge push against monarchy and all things that are connected to monarchy. That's a more modern kind of take and feel on the history of these countries that used to have kings and queens. I get it. But a lot of people in Paris and France, they don't look at the jewels as just like expensive bling. They are physical links to France's past. And stealing them feels like stealing part of their national story. And so I totally get it. I mean,
I get it. Well, before you continue, let's take a break because there is more to cover. And I want to talk about how do we get the jewels back?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to get the jewels back, but
maybe we're going to talk about it.
All right. Okay, I'll be honest. I used to dread getting ready for holiday events. Outside of the whole, you know, how am I going to do my hair? What am I going to put on? Then there's the makeup. And you know the drill. Too many products, too many steps. And somehow my face still looked just cakey and overdone by the time I got out the door. But this year, I finally simplified everything thanks to Jones Road Beauty, our sponsor for today's episode. Their products are designed to make you look like you, just a little bit more polished, not covered up under layers of makeup, which is the worst to do during these winter months, by the way, because your skin's already dry and like falling off anyways. Now, I will say my favorite product from them, hands down, is the Miracle Balm. It gives you that fresh, natural glow without feeling heavy or greasy. I swipe it on my cheeks, my lips, even my eyelids, and I'm done. It's replaced about 5 products in my routine, which, let's be honest, feels like a small miracle during the holidays.
No, I've seen you come into the studio looking like you just met with your full makeup team, so it's working.
It's definitely more natural, but it's also definitely the Miracle Balm. It actually enhances your skin instead of masking it. So you've got a nice glow, your natural skin's coming through. And with all the holiday events coming up, it's been my go-to for that effortless pulled together look that takes 2 minutes tops. And I actually feel better too. I feel better about how my skin and my makeup looks. And here's the best part. Starting November 6th, Jones Road is launching their most giftable holiday collection ever. It's 5 limited edition kits, trios with new holiday shades, beautiful packaging, and easy party ready products that make amazing gifts for beauty lovers or honestly, just for yourself. Great stocking stuffer too. All their products are clean, strategic, and multifunctional makeup that's actually good for your skin. So simplify your holiday routine and grab these sets while they last, because once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, and as a special treat for our listeners and viewers, you can get a free cool gloss with your first purchase when you use code CRIMEWEEKLY at checkout, and Crime Weekly is all one word. Just head over to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code CRIMEWEEKLY, and when they ask where you heard about them, we'd appreciate it if you tell them that Crime Weekly sent you.
Okay, we're back. So like I had said before the break, the police have said they don't have evidence that anyone inside the Louvre helped this group of people who performed the heist. But they have not ruled out the possibility that someone passed on information about the gallery layout or the alarm schedule, which to me, the fact that they knew about the blind spots suggests, you know, even if it's not directly, that
they had some intel.
Yeah. So at this point, investigators think that whoever planned this wasn't just after profit. These were high-profile imperial pieces, instantly recognizable. Now, there's speculation that the theft might have been commissioned, meaning someone with money and access wanted.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on that vein of belief. I do think that, but others think it could be ideological, a statement about France's colonial and aristocratic past or about the ownership of cultural heritage. That's still just speculation, but it's part of why authorities believe the motive might go beyond financial gain. Also, the timing. The heist happened during a weekend maintenance window when the Louvre had limited staff in that section.
Yeah, but nobody at the Louvre is involved.
They said they don't have evidence of that.
Yeah, there you go.
But
correctly
I think,
stated.
Once again, that's indirect evidence that whoever planned it knew these things.
Yeah. Even if it was just one of them having a boyfriend or girlfriend that worked there, you know, and they were just dating them for this reason to gain information. Who knows?
Yes. And this isn't just about a theft. It's almost performance art. You don't risk that kind of exposure for something that you can't necessarily just sell to anybody. So it's almost about possession, having something no one else can ever have again. And that's why I do think it could be one of these very wealthy people around the world somewhere who just
unlimited
were
money.
Bored. Yeah, like bored and like, oh, I want this thing that nobody else can ever have.
Think about all the paintings and stuff that have been taken over the years. I remember there was a big heist in Boston. Those paintings have never been recovered. And it's because they're in someone's private collection somewhere where these uber rich people get together and it's like, hey, want to see something cool?
And I think like sometimes for highly valuable or historical paintings, they will put up like decoys almost.
Well, I was going to save this for the end when you got through the whole exposition here, but how funny would it be if we found out, which I don't think it's the case, they wouldn't put 100 investigators on it, if it was just a counterfeit, like a fake piece.
Yeah, like a decoy.
That was made to look, a dupe, if you will. I've heard, I don't know how true it is, but a lot of the paintings that you do see in these museums are replicas.
I've heard that too, yeah.
And
like
the
Mona Lisa. I don't think the Mona Lisa is the real Mona Lisa.
Well,
people have tried
that's
to take
what people
that.
Say.
People have tried to take that painting a million times.
That's what people say. Like, and not even about theft. You also think about someone walking up to it, and I've never seen them. Maybe it's encased, but damaging these pieces, right? Like just someone trying to make a political statement goes in there and throws paint on it.
I've seen that, yeah.
Something like that where they have to plan for those things. And I would imagine that if you can find an exact replica where unless you're an expert and you have it under a microscope, you can tell the difference, you would keep the real pieces within the facility, but in a protected area where they can't be damaged or stolen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at that. It would suck to know that you're looking at something that isn't the actual one, but at the same time, I'd rather that happen than you find out that someone stole it. It's in their basement now and you're never going to see it again.
I agree. And I mean, I think that if something is specifically targeted multiple times, like the Mona Lisa, and it's kind of just like, okay, history is repeating itself. A lot of people have tried to steal this painting over time. Let's just cut our losses, have a really good fake made and put it. I think that was part of the Da Vinci Code where I feel like I watched a movie like that where somebody stole the Mona Lisa and then it ended up being a counterfeit Mona Lisa.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I remember like the Thomas Crown affair too. Like he'd always go into museums and steal the paintings, but he was also like this amazing artist and he could like make the paintings look real so he could replace them and nobody would know that he'd taken it. But this isn't a movie. This is real, even though it feels like a movie. And at this point, what we have is 7 suspects who are in custody. The investigation's being handled by the Paris Judicial Police under Prosecutor Bacow. The charges are organized gang theft and criminal conspiracy. These are both really serious charges under French law. But despite the arrest, authorities haven't found a single piece of jewelry. And that's the most concerning part because the longer it goes, the more likely that these jewels have already been broken down or moved out of the country. And I even was thinking like some of these crowns and things, could they take the jewels out of the crown and fence them to somebody who wouldn't know better? But who's got that kind of money to pay for, you know, an emerald or a ruby not knowing the historical significance of it, how, you know, you wouldn't be able to even sell it for as much as you could. And as soon as somebody saw the quality and the age of that jewel, they'd know something's not right here, especially with how public this Louvre heist has been. So I feel like the only options are, one, somebody with a ton of money paid for this to happen, commissioned this, or two, maybe it was a political statement, but at that point, where would the jewels be? Where would they be hidden? Because obviously they were not in the possession of any of these suspects arrested. And are these suspects even really involved? You know, we don't know. We don't know what they said to the police. The police could just be arresting people and saying, oh yeah, they're involved, just to make it seem like there's progress. I don't know. I don't really trust it. Why would these people just hang out in Paris waiting to get arrested? I don't know.
Yeah, if these are people who were involved, a couple things could happen here. One, I do agree with you. These pieces had to be commissioned. You wouldn't take these items not knowing if you could move them. And you have to have a buyer in place, because you can't just walk into
That's too much risk to take. You got
to get rid of it that day. Now, here's the problem. Even if they are involved, if you already had a buyer, this buyer is probably so rich and so powerful that if you snitch, because more than likely you've already handed the jewels off, if you snitch, you're not making it to court. More than likely. Something bad is going to happen to you.
If they can organize this, they can organize some random dude to be taken out easy.
I mean, they got to Epstein, right? I mean, a lot of people believe that they got to Epstein. So if they got to Epstein, they can get to you. And so that's one side of it. The other side is, if this is a political statement, then these people they're radicalized, and they're going to go to their graves with it. They could have dumped this stuff in a river somewhere to prove a point, which they've proven nothing. But in their minds, they feel like they've accomplished something bigger than their own freedom, and they may just never say it. But there is an off chance. I always say this with a crime. You want to find all the people involved, because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if you have someone who is just the getaway driver, right, you can maybe say to them, hey, listen, you could walk away from this. You could still have a life after this. Where did they last dump them? Or give us a connection. Give us a person that you saw, or a car, or a boat, whatever. Give us something, because otherwise, you're going down with the conspiracy charge, and you're going to be charged as if you went into the building yourself. That's the only shot you have, and it's not a good one.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't see how there's any world that exists where any of these people know enough about the buyer to even give that kind of information. I guarantee you they're just hired help, who do have skills, obviously, but there's some sort of middleman who they probably don't even know his real name. They probably never even saw his face, right? And therefore, that middleman who may know who the actual buyer is, he can't be identified. So how would the actual buyer ever be identified?
I agree. It's not looking good.
It's not looking good. And even if you figure out who did it, or even have a lead on it, what are your chances of recovering these things? Probably very low.
Even with 100 investigators.
Yeah, I was just about to say, which is why maybe, you know, the 100 investigators need to be limited at this point and sent off to do other work, because I feel like you're chasing a whale right now that you'll never get. This is their Moby Dick.
And that's where I go back to the 100 investigators. Like, I mean you got to give it a shot, I guess. I don't know. I don't think they'll have 100 people on it for a very long period of time. But yeah, overall, the amount that went into this, the renting of the lift, the people that had to be involved, the people who had to be paid off to get that information you needed to at least get away with. Listen, they accomplished it. They got the jewels. So this is way bigger than seven people. A lot
eight
of people.
8 minutes. Seven people, 8 minutes. Damn.
These are professionals.
Like you said, it's Ocean's 11. Yeah.
It's Ocean's 11. It's The Departed, although they got caught right away. That's just not probably
they're,
not the
they're
best
like
example.
Diving through.
Great movie, though.
They're diving through motion sensor lasers.
Yeah.
You know, they're like coming
legit
down from the ceiling.
This is legit. This is definitely legit. So the chances of getting it back are slim to none. The fact that they've caught some people that are allegedly connected to it, it gives you a small hope, but I think we all can agree that more than likely there is a buyer somewhere in another country right now who has those things under lock and key, and they're not the least bit concerned, because they know that these people know if they say anything, they're dead.
I don't think these people know anything that they could even say anything.
There might be one person in the group. You're right. It, like, they keep it minimal as far as who knows the end point to this. for this exact reason.
I guarantee you not one of those seven men know anything about the actual buyer. I guarantee you. Because that's way too much of a risk. He that's that person's liability. As those seven men, I wouldn't want to know shit. Yeah. Because no. Then when something happens and if I get caught,
you've seen my face.
It's like I know I'm done. So I don't want to know who you are at all. But yeah, at the end of the day, I understand putting so many investigators on it early because you could maybe
give it a shot,
trace it. You could maybe catch up a trail. But at this point. Nah, I think we're done.
Yeah, all I ask is the next time a missing kid is out there somewhere within the first 48 to 72 hours, let's put 100 people on that one as well.
Or maybe even just 10.
10 would be great.
10 would be great.
10% of what you're putting on, missing jewels.
Yeah, instead of that one investigator that's been on the force for 50 years and everybody knows he takes a 3-hour lunch break.
Who didn't respond to the scene for 48 hours. We're already outside the 72-hour window. Yeah,
and
that guy.
And he was like, that 4-year-old just left home willingly. What are you talking about? We're French. We mature early.
you're showing you have the resources when needed. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, so, I'm with you.
I know this conversation is about that. Honestly, horrible situation, but at the same time, it's kind of cool.
And it's kind of cool,
very,
I know.
I say that in a very careful way. I don't mean it. It's terrible what happened. But this is like you see in the movies, and that's what I mean by cool. It's something where you watch it in the movies and you think, oh, that's cool, although it could never really happen, like Ocean's 11. But this is a walking, talking, real-life version of that.
I will be, watching it, and I understand anybody.
I hope they get it back.
I do, too, of course.
Scumbags are taking it.
Of course I hope they get it back.
Or I hope it was all fake, and they come out and tell us it was all fake.
Oh, I think there's so much we definitely don't know, like the investigators know. Like, oh, if this was such a well-protected, important part of the museum, why didn't you have more external security? Why didn't you have like glass break sensors or things like that, so that there was some sort of indication long before they broke the window and got it? Why wouldn't you have windows that you can't break?
Yeah.
You got these huge ass windows in the Louvre. This is the Apollo Gallery is very important to France and their history. Why wouldn't you have windows on there you can't break? So like, there's definitely some things that the investigators know that we don't, that probably makes them look not so great.
Could have been more prepared. I get what you're saying, where they're trying to get the jewels back as fast as possible because they don't want to look like assholes.
Yeah, it's like you could have, maybe paid another $100,000 to have that gallery more fortified, and now you're out 88 million euros. So
yeah, not good. Well, if there's any update, we will let you guys know, but you'll probably know before we even do the update because this is national news at this point.
Dude, what if it's someone on the inside?
I wouldn't doubt
it. Like someone high up in France who took the jewels and then they made it look like this like elaborate heist.
Or it's the investigators themselves.
What if it is the investigator? Did you see?
They got them on the inside where they know they're going to be called to investigate it and they've already been paid off not to find them. Or to pin it on people who are the scapegoats who weren't even involved, these seven people. It could be so much deeper than, like, our heads would explode. If 88 million euros, let's go back to it. There's a lot of money involved with this. We don't know how deep this runs.
You could finance a war with that.
You could finance an effing war with it. And so to think that it's just these guys they hired, no. There's a lot of people whose pockets were lined, and it could be anywhere from law enforcement to the Louvre to
politics,
people in the area. Exactly. Politicians. This was a very well thought out mission, and the likelihood of finding these jewels and these emeralds and these crowns, whatever was taken, slim to none if they did everything they wanted to do. And if the fact that they went for it in broad daylight, by the way, I mean, you could see these guys coming down this lift, tells me that they were not too concerned about being seen.
So
we'll see how it goes. We'll see where it lands. We'll see if there's any updates. And if there are, if it's big enough for a Crime Weekly News, we'll cover it. But if not, another thing that we've been doing, make sure you follow us on social media at Crime Weekly Pod, because we'll usually give an update there about something we covered on Crime Weekly News if it's not enough. For example, the case we talked about a couple weeks ago where we were pretty pissed off that these young kids that because they were under 10 years old weren't charged with rape and murder. Well, shortly after we covered it, they were charged. And we put out updates
Thank
on our social
God.
Media.
Thank
so
God.
Make sure you're following us there because we're always updating that with information that we've covered here on Crime Weekly News or Crime Weekly. Anything else from you, Stephanie?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. We'll see you guys later this week with BTK Part 2, extensive series Part 1. You guys really seem to be behind that one. We're going to go into a lot more details because we left off with the first crime that we know of that he's at least let us know of. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrific one, and it kind of sets us down a path that is very dark. So we will see you later this week for audio on Friday, YouTube on Sunday. Until then, everyone stay safe out there, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.